And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Save for six games. It's break time for fantasy owners, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, your unofficial first half recap show. MVPs, bust, polarizing stories. We've got you covered here. It's Nick Alberga, Pete Sensen, and Anadu with you. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Nick? Yeah, I can't believe we're already at the All-Star break, bye week central. You can find the full list on NHL.com/fantasy. Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. What's going on, Anna?
Guys, I'm so excited for All-Star. I'm already in Toronto. I'm so excited for this weekend, and I can't believe the season is flying by. Lots to talk about, for sure.
Just flying. I'll tell you what I'm excited about. Taking advantage of the schedule. Give me Nashville. Give me San Jose. Give me Ottawa. Two-game teams this week, Pete. I'm all over it. There's only 3 days to this week, right?
Yeah, and we try to find on this show as much hidden value as we can, as much as teams like the Buffalo Sabres have broken our hearts this season. They have a bunch of guys to choose from. Heart goes out a little bit to Jack Quinn. Hopefully that's not a really serious injury, but JJ Paterka, Dylan Cousins, those guys are ripping it up right now, Anna.
I can tell you this is the only NHL podcast you'll ever listen to where someone has said the sentence, give me Nashville, give me San Jose, and give me Ottawa in the same sentence. I'll give you that right now.
Okay, guys, let's start with the biggest story to me. And it has to be like surprises. And on top of that list, Pete, has to be Sam Reinhart. Like in your wildest dreams, if we were to have this conversation in September and Sam Reinhart would be a top five fantasy performer at the All-Star break, what would you tell me?
Yeah, I would have been really surprised to see that he's like right on Austin Matthews' tail for the goal scoring title at the break. But he has been a really quality player in years past. Point per game player on a third line a couple years ago. I can't think of another player that did something like that in my entire time covering the NHL and fantasy hockey. So maybe that was a little precursor here. But look at it, Anna, right? Leads the NHL in power play goals, leads the NHL in high danger goals. So you know where this is coming from, high percentage looks, and he's cashing in big time in his contract here.
Yeah, I mean, he was a back-to-back 30 goal scorer, and I think we forget that a little bit. I don't think anyone expected him to be at 37 at this point in the year, but he has proven himself to be a pretty solid NHL player and clearly killing it on the power play right now. He has more power play goals than a handful of NHL teams have power play goals this season, and I just keep waiting for him to fall off. Him and Brock Besser, the two guys, yeah. I'm waiting for them to fall off, and they keep scoring. They keep looking good, Nick.
Well, that's the big story, I think, for fantasy owners. If you have one or both of these guys, and I know I made the joke earlier on this season where I sort of gave it to Dave Satriano for staying up till 3 a.m. to pick up Brock Besser. Looks pretty genius right now. You talk about Besser. He's on pace for 50 goals and 95 points. Sam Reinhart has a pace of 62 goals, 104 points. And I just think you're smiling year to year right now if you own one of these guys. Like, it's just been such an epic story. Where I don't want to say they came out of nowhere, because obviously there's a bit of a resume to both these guys. But in your wildest dreams, Anna, you could never have think these guys are going to produce to this level where they're in the Kaprizov territory, the MacKinnon territory, the McDavid territory. Like, it's epic to me.
The Matthews territory, to be honest. Yeah. And I'm just genuinely curious if anyone listening did draft Sam Reinhart in their drafts earlier this year. Please let us know on Twitter, X, whatever we call it right now, where you took this guy, because he was not taken in a lot of drafts, guys.
And another big surprise is definitely Philip Forsberg. We always look at bounce back candidates in the preseason. Remember a couple years ago, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, he had a 40-40 season, and he's on pace to do that again. Even though Nashville, we thought, would be a middling team, they're in the playoff conversation. I don't think they're going to make it, but Philip Forsberg deserves a ton of credit, especially with a new number one centerman in O'Reilly, just for getting the season and the career back on track here.
Yeah, I think in general, Nashville's a team that has surprised me, and maybe it comes from the goaltending. I mean, when you have Soros, I think it rectifies a lot of stuff. Roman Josi, I think, has had a really good year in the back end. But Philip Forsberg is a guy, Pete, if you guys remember, we identified as a bounce-back candidate coming off last year, and he's ripped it. I mean, he's been a great story. Around a 75 ADP, and he's producing like a top 15 foul right now.
We knew what his individual ceiling was, right, for some time to come, and it's nice to see him get back there. But there's one player who I feel like in the league, I keep debating what his individual fantasy ceiling is and whether it's a fluke year, whether he's going to continue, whether he's going to fall off, and that's JT Miller for the Vancouver Canucks, guys. Like, every season, he performs well. He's an 80-point player. He's a 90-point player, and I'm like, is this just the one-off year for JT Miller? And then look at it again. We're at the end of January. He's among league leaders in points once again in the NHL, and I wonder going forward, how high do you have to take JT Miller in drafts, because it looks like he's not falling off, Nick.
Yeah, so I'll field this one first, and I have like a running joke with Boomer Gordon of SiriusXM NHL Network Radio spanning years where Miller went to the Tampa Bay Lightning and I was all over him. I loved his positioning in the top six, and I jumped a year too early on this guy. I'm like, there's just something about JT Miller. He leaves the Rangers, he's going to turn into a stud. I think this is legitimate. Like, I think he's a top 25 fantasy piece for X amount of years. I just think the intangibles he brings to the table, the category coverage, Pete, I think it's all there. The nucleus is all there for JT Miller to be a mainstay. Like, I don't view this as a one-off.
And it's just so interesting when you look back at Vancouver. I think they let so many of us down. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like 2 or 3 years in a row where I was picking them to make the playoffs after that brief playoff run in the bubble or whenever it was. And I just think like this is now materializing into something where they could be an elite team to stay with this core, especially if they re-up Elias Pettersson. But they may be buyers at the trade deadline as well, and they're absolutely locked and loaded, ready to win multiple rounds maybe this season.
All I'll say is that Pettersson conversation is going to be a grind, but the Canucks convo in general has been incredible. I mean, you talk about teams with a lot of guys who have fantasy appeal. Colorado comes to mind, the Maple Leafs and others, but there are five guys, as we have this conversation, Anna, top 50 fantasy players: Pettersson, Miller, Hughes, Besser. Filip Hronek has been a steal. We look back at last year's trade deadline from Detroit, and then Thatcher Demko, obviously, excuse me, on a short list to win the Vezina Trophy right now.
Yeah, I feel like I might be the only person who's not shocked by how well the Vancouver Canucks are doing. I had them making the postseason and the preseason. There's never really been a concern in terms of the makeup of this team in my eyes, because they have a pretty elite squad. Like, their top six is one of the best top sixes in the entire NHL with the way these guys are playing. And then their third line also went on some heaters this year with Dakota Joshua and Teddy Bluger and Connor Garland. And they were responsible for some point streaks. So you saw their bottom six getting rounded out. Quinn Hughes, Filip Hronek, they're killing the game. And then on their back end, they added some size with Nikita Zadorov. They have Tyler Myers. And then obviously Thatcher Demko is Thatcher Demko. All they needed was a guy like Rick Tocchet to really bring the best out of this squad. But I think with the players that they have, the Vancouver Canucks are going to be a dangerous team for years to come, guys.
And I can't wait to see as well who they add at the deadline. I know they've been sniffing around at Adam Henrique. Jake Gensel would be in that conversation as well. I had them in a wild card spot in the preseason. Didn't think they'd probably win the division, maybe the President's Trophy, but they're obviously trending that way. I want to spend some time with a guy we really don't talk about a lot, Pete, but Matt Duchene has been an incredible pickup for the Dallas Stars. Like, everything that transpired with Nashville, gets bought out, signs a deal. He's a top 75 fantasy file. Like, I thought his days of being fantasy relevant were over. Goes to Dallas, 48 games, 17 goals, 28 assists, 45 points. He's been an exceptional story, Pete.
He has, and in Dallas's secondary scoring, I know they're not playing particularly well over the past like month or two because of some injuries. Now Haskinen's back since we last talked. Ottinger's back as of a couple of weeks ago. They really have some of the best second and third liners in the whole league. Sagan's having a decent year. Wyatt Johnston, oh, by the way, the Calder Trophy winner, Anna, last year, Matty Beniers, has fallen off and is barely fantasy relevant anymore. Meanwhile, Wyatt Johnston is right up there among the best second-year players in the entire league. So major props to him as well. And I like where Dallas is heading if they do peak at the right time come April and May.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Mason Marchman as well. He's playing with Matt Duchene, and I feel like that's a great sneaky pickup if you added him to your fantasy roster. He's been getting goals, been getting points pretty much on a regular basis. I just wonder this year, guys, like, the league is so deep and it's so competitive, and I don't remember the last time it's been this competitive. And you wonder if the Winnipeg Jets getting Kyle Connor back in the lineup are going to go shooting right back up. The Colorado Avalanche are obviously such a solid team, and there's a bunch of teams that are still in like the wild card contention in the Western Conference and Eastern Conference. And at this point, I guess like the Dallas Stars, I wonder how far their futures outlook really looks with how competitive the league is, right?
Yeah, there really is so many moving parts to it. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, there's a lot of like surprise performers where you didn't expect it, maybe more so because of the prognostications around the team. I want to give a shout out to Blake Coleman's having a great year, 20 goals and 49 games. Charlie Coyle, you know, for all the conversation about Pavel Zacha being a sleeper for the Boston Bruins, Charlie Coyle has really elevated and made people sort of forget about Bergeron and Krejci. He's been great in the top six there. Mike Matheson with Montreal, ADP of around 75. You know, he's a top, you know, top guy right now. I mean, in terms of the conversation, top 100, I shouldn't say top 75 ADP, but top 100 point producing machine in the back end. And a guy who's really performed for me this year, Anna, Joel Eriksson Ek, is a guy I took a late flyer on in two drafts this year, and he is producing like, well, you know, a top 65 fantasy talent, maybe sneaking into the top 50. Like, he has been electric in terms of average annual draft position.
Yeah, I've been really high on him for some time. Like, I like the Minnesota Wild. I know they've fallen off and they had like a disastrous start to the year, and then Kaprizov wasn't looking like himself. And there's always issues with this team, but they're like a fantasy gold mine in terms of some players that you can get at a decent value because people aren't high on the team as a whole. And Eriksson Ek is one of those guys. He's playing with Matt Boldy. I love that position for him in the Minnesota Wild lineup because I'm very high on Matt Boldy as well. He's a guy I took in pretty much every single draft, and Eriksson Ek paired with him, it's just elite. Like, he's a great player. He's on their top power play unit, and even when this team loses, they still manage to get points on the board, right?
Oh yeah, and I love these under the radar type stories. Like, we all knew he had to hit him, but I think the thing with me for Minnesota was like the salary cap and how they had 14 mil to two guys who weren't playing for this team anymore. And well, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think from a fantasy standpoint, there are some guys who have been contributing, and it's been a great story. But oftentimes, I think in the fantasy world, you're looking for these teams to pick apart that nobody really believes in. That's why I have to bring up the Boston Bruins, Anna. Like, I had them winning the division, if you can believe it. Very rare over at Daily Faceoff. We put over a preseason thing. I was the only person that had Boston sniffing first in the Atlantic Division. But from a fantasy standpoint, I think they've hit the ball out of the park when it comes to the goaltending situation, the back end, and up front. I mean, you miss two significant pieces who retire, and they have not skipped a beat at all. Like, if you do recall, David Pastrnak's a guy, I'm like, I'm fading. I just can't take him that high. And he just made me look like an idiot again.
I'm done doubting the Boston Bruins. Yeah. I feel like I did a little bit last season, and I did not this season. I think I had them second in the Atlantic in my preseason predictions, which, to credit to you, you were closer than I was. But this team, like, really has the next man up mentality. Like, you see their big pieces go out of their lineup, retire, all of that. And then what happens is guys like Charlie Coyle are stepping up. He's got like 12 points in his past eight games. Trent Frederick stepping up a little bit right now. On their back end, you got like Hampus Lindholm producing some points, and their goalie tandem, you can't say enough about them. Last season was not a fluke. They have two very, very solid netminders in Boston, and some of these young guys who are coming on the Bruins lineup too, I'm excited about their future and to see what they're going to look like in the next couple of seasons, maybe even at the end of this season. It's not the aging team that we think the Bruins are. Like, sometimes I think we confuse them with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we think, oh, like, Pittsburgh's done, Boston's kind of in the same boat. They're really not. They have some young guys on this team with a lot of upside for years to come.
And Matt Patra, of course, the big rookie story, went to the World Junior for Team Canada. And you can't talk about Boston, I think, without talking about the Winnipeg Jets. They were also in that conversation. It's like, well, we're selling. Are we a middling team? Connor Hellebuyck just had a dreadful first month and a half of the season. He has been spectacular. Rick Bowness has done a great job. Gabe Vilardi, that whole PLD trade has just been unbelievable in favor of the Winnipeg Jets and some of the additions they've made. Kyle Connor's had a great bounce back here. So has Shifley. I mean, it really is incredible that you trade and get rid of two big pieces in Wheeler and Dubois, and you're a different team and you're a legitimate team again.
This is like the accountability episode of the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. Yeah. I've been tooting my own horn for Boston and Vancouver, but Winnipeg is where I have to give like a formal apology speech because I did not have this team making the postseason. I did say they won the PLD trade with getting Gabe Vilardi. I did not think they were going to be playing the way they're playing right now. All credit to Connor Hellebuck. He's been playing lights out for the Winnipeg Jets, but even beyond him, I'm just amazed, Nick, with how well this team played without Kyle Connor, who is their best player. And that just goes to show that it has more depth than meets the eye initially. And there's a couple of key pickups. If you got on your roster, you're probably pretty happy about, like, Vladislav Namestnikov is one of them. He keeps having phenomenal lineup placement. I know you're high on Ehlers. I know Pete's high on Ehlers. I really like Cole Perfetti. The list kind of goes on and on. This is probably the best team, I think, to stream from, because I feel like every guy on this team has gone on a hot streak within the last couple of months.
Yeah, they have depth. Even Laurent Boissois has been found money this year. Addition by subtraction, I would say, by losing PLD. And don't worry, we'll get to him in the busts conversation here on this podcast. I want to give some love as well to the goaltending and the crease. And we talk about it every year, Anna, how volatile the position is. But fantasy owners, if you were patient, you found value not only in the draft, but waiver wire. And again, there's still 30-some-odd games remaining in the season. So this conversation at the end of the year could be a lot different. But I want to give some props to Aiden Hill coming off winning the Stanley Cups. I think when healthy, he's been a great story again. Connor Ingram with Arizona, Tristan Jarry with Pittsburgh, Joey DeCord, I think getting Seattle season back on track. Stuart Skinner, considering that start, he's been exceptional. Alex Lyon with Detroit, we talked about him last year with the Florida Panthers, getting them into the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think he's been great. And Jonathan Quick, like I thought this guy was finished, Anna. And then signs with the New York Rangers have been a great backup for Igor Shesterkin there.
Yeah, especially with the way Shesterkin's been struggling this year. I mean, you rattled it off. It's really about the goalie stepping up to the plate this year. Got to give credit to Charlie Lindgren for the Washington Capitals as well. My goodness, he carried this team to any relevancy this season, and the way he's playing has been like phenomenal. But I don't know, man. Like, that position this year has been absolutely brutal. I think heading into the season, everyone thought, oh, you know, you got the big two. You got Shesterkin and you got Sorokin. And maybe you want to hold on to Vasilevsky when he comes back from injury and we're good. No one thought that the big two were going to be Thatcher Demko and Connor Hellebuck, and Stuart Skinner's now in the mix with the run he's on. Like, that's not what anyone predicted in the slightest. So the goaltender situation in the NHL is so, so fluid. And let this be a lesson to not draft a goalie high, guys. Just don't do it. It's going to burn you. Do not do it.
I know. I feel like we have this conversation every year, how to attack the crease. And while some of the upper echelon guys have been great, for the most part, they haven't been good enough, you know, to where they're drafted. But, and I've waited 25 minutes to get into the bus conversation. This might span another 25 minutes, but I'm happy you brought up Washington. It stinks to say this name, but to me, the biggest bust of this fantasy season thus far has to be Alex Ovechkin. A guy, I'm sorry, you were really, really big on in the preseason. Everyone was. But he has 9 goals in 44 games. Explain yourself, Anna Dua.
I wanted to give him a little bit of credit because his pedigree deserves credit. Okay, yeah. Like, I'm in no position to say that Alex Ovechkin isn't going to do well in the preseason. And I got him at a pretty good point in my draft. Now I'm beginning to understand why I got him that late in the mock draft that we did, at least. But with Ovi, I don't want to, like, ring the bust bell just yet, okay? I'm going to ring the slow first half of the season. Maybe he goes on a surprise run the second half of the season, because the shot volume's still there, right? Like, he's probably going to still maybe be around the 300 shots on goal total at the end of the season. His shooting percentage is just like abysmally low right now. He's been consistently around the 13, 14, 15 mark throughout his career. Right now he's at a solid 6. So you wonder if that's just going to turn around. He's been having some bad luck. And when it does, this might be the best time to kind of buy low on Alex Ovechkin, hoping that he picks it up in the second half of the year. He's the one guy I can't use that word for just yet. It seems a little bit disrespectful.
All right, fair enough. Pete, I called Alex Ovechkin a bust. How do you feel about that?
He's got to be a top 5 bust this season, and something we love it. Yeah. Based on his career pedigree and the goal scoring chase and everything like that. Wanted to circle back to Buffalo. Obviously, I was dead wrong on that team. In the preseason, I take full responsibility for that. Devin Levi has been up and down between the AHL and the NHL, let alone sticking as a Calder Trophy candidate. So that was a swing and a miss. Also, Tage Thompson. I mean, the guy was drafted in the top 15 overall and is barely inside the top 150 overall in terms of rank. I think he has buy low appeal right now. If you want to pick him up here, even if Buffalo, you know, puts together a little winning streak to get back in things, they're probably not going to make the playoffs, and it's a big disappointment what's gone up in Western New York.
Yeah, that's fair. Delivered by our friends over at Skip. Tage Thompson bus is what somebody wrote in, and I won't lie. He's on top of my list. He's atop my list. He's past Alex Ovechkin. I don't think this guy's completely healthy. You'll never find out the truth, right. But 39 games, 14 goals, 28 points. I think everything you just nailed on is accurate. Like, when he was a guy in my top 10, just hasn't performed anywhere close to that. He's on pace for 26 goals and 52 points. Like, that's a fringe fantasy player, Anna. Like, he had 47 and 47 last year.
Listen, I love the Chris Letang stories of the NHL as much as the next person, but this is the risk you take with a guy like Tage Thompson, who overperformed his career expectations by a bazillion percent, and all of a sudden he had a couple of good seasons. We think he's an elite NHL player, and then another season rolls around and he falters a little bit and we're calling him a bust. But at the end of the day, you got to monitor your expectations with guys like this, right? It's not the same type of initial safety net you have with like a Sidney Crosby or like a Jack Hughes or like any of those guys who were right there at the top of our rankings as well, because they've kind of been that way their entire career. Whereas Tage Thompson had a couple of really, really solid years, and I think he still has a really high ceiling just given the way he plays hockey, but he's just not one of those guys. And I've always had a little part of the back of my head wondering when Tage Thompson was going to fall off, and I hope he bounces back, but it looks like it's happening right now.
You just get that sort of attachment, but I think if you're talking about early bounce back candidates for next season, I think Tage Thompson's going to be atop my list. I believe in the guy. I think when he's a freak. Like, I mean, just look how big that guy is, how good he skates, how hard his shot is. Like, there's no doubt in my world he is not 100%. There's no way. Like, I think you've seen some of the injuries he's gone through this season. He's probably forced himself back, and this is just sheer speculation on my part. Buffalo is fighting for their lives throughout the season, and I just don't think he's healthy. And I mean, it's very similar last year to Austin Matthews in that conversation. That's how I feel. Like, Matthews had one wrist for the majority of the season, still scored 40 goals. I mean, you look at the numbers, this guy's going to hover around 30 goals and not be the best form of himself. So I actually believe in him. You talk about belief. There's attachment every year to Fantasy Files, Pete. Andre Kuzmenko, I was really, really high on going into this year. How could you not be after scoring 39 in your first year in the NHL? I'm careful to call him a rookie last year because he's like 50 years old, but like, his second year has not been great. He's on pace for 14 goals. I think he's been a health bomb six times, and I just wonder if he could be long for, you know, for Vancouver. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if this guy is dealt by the deadline.
That's one thing. Like, if you told me Vancouver was going to have this season that they're having, and then you were going to tell me that like Kuzmenko was going to be a healthy scratch every couple of weeks and just completely fall off the fantasy radar, I would have told you you're crazy, but that's how it's fallen off for him a little bit. I know that Vancouver, as promising as their offense has been, you know, Kuzmenko's taken a big step back, right? Pod Coles, and remember we were high on him a couple years. I was. That guy's been just buried in the AHL. So I guess certain things not working out, but overall it's good to see Vancouver franchise-wise definitely on the right track.
Yeah, I was pretty high on Kuzmenko just as a player, and it was mostly because when you look at his net front presence last season, the guy was just in the right place at the right time pretty much every single time, but that also means you need solid lineup placement and you need time on ice. And as Nick always says, there's only one puck to go around. And with Brock Besser coming out of the gates playing the way he was playing, and then you're seeing JT Miller having yet another great year, Pedersen, I don't even have to say. And then their third line, as I mentioned earlier, too, being that productive, like, where does Kuzmenko fall into this mix? He kind of falls out of that mix. And without the key lineup placement, he really isn't as valuable as he was last season. So it's tough to see, but he's not even getting shots on goals in the games he's playing now, guys. It's like one or two a night and usually zero. So it's not even like he just has a terrible shooting percentage. It's lower than last year, but last year was ridiculous. He's just not in the right place anymore.
Yeah, put it this way. We're at like Lafreniere, Slafkovsky territory where the media is like clapping and celebrating every time he makes a good pass. That's some problematic stuff. Pete, this is a great segue. And Anna, thank you so much for bringing up my infamous quote. The one team I will hang my hat on for this fantasy season that I was damn right on, the New Jersey Devils. And I know the injuries have been there with that team. what a feverish start for Jack Hughes. I took a flyer on the hard appeal, but like he's just not going to have enough games to be back in this conversation. In general, Pete, you look at that roster, you look at the talent, maybe they overlooked their goaltending situation a bit, but they've been a massive disappointment in the fantasy world so far.
Oh, definitely. I mean, as much as we've been hard on Buffalo, they haven't made the playoffs in 13 years or whatever it is. The Devils are coming off a rivalry series win against the Rangers last year where they were way ahead of schedule and we were talking about them being cup contenders. I wasn't sold on them being a cup contender for this year. You can go back and check the tapes on that one. Their odds have always been, since the beginning of the season and the preseason, like in the top five or so. They had some regression. They knew this was coming, but injuries and goaltending woes have just doomed this team, and they have an uphill battle in the second half.
Listen, guys, I'm not biased. I promise you I am not biased, but I promise you right now the New Jersey Devils will make the postseason this year. I'm not done with this team. I think they could easily go on a run and shoot right up into a wild card spot at the very least, especially when they get Jack Hughes back. They have all the pieces needed. Their goalies just need to barely hang on in this one, and I think they're going to do it. And it's not just because I'm doing their games. I swear, I genuinely believe in this team. I really do.
Things can change so quickly, right? Nick, Cam Talbot over the first 2 months of the season was one of the top three, definitely five Vezina Trophy front runners. Now he's droppable with the Kings reeling. They've won like two games in their past 16. Meanwhile, earlier in the season when the Oilers were terrible, we were all saying to drop Stuart Skinner that we're done with this guy. Now he looks like a Vezina Trophy candidate, and the Oilers are on the cusp of maybe the greatest winning streak in NHL history. They're at 16, right? And the greatest winning streak is 17, so they could definitely pass that thing.
Yeah, I think it brings a great perspective to the podcast and the fantasy world that sometimes patience is a virtue. I think you look specifically at Edmonton. If you waited out that disastrous start, I think you're smiling and didn't, you know, sell low on a guy like McDavid and Drysdale. You're feeling pretty damn good about life. So yeah, certainly in that perspective, I you know, to a degree, and I'm with you on the New Jersey front. I just think goaltending is so big to win in this league, and I just don't know how much faith I have in them. But certainly, I think you look at those two conversations, the script can flip big time here when it comes to the New Jersey Devils in a hurry, too.
There was a point, if you guys remember, where I named the LA Kings my Stanley Cup winner.
You did. You went a whole thing. Yeah.
I did a whole thing on the Kings, and that was, you know, a month ago or so, and now the team is in shambles. So as Petey mentioned, man, things can change very quickly.
So you're telling me there's a chance for PLD, though, right, guys?
No.
Is there a chance here? No? No chance?
I don't know.
You want me to go through the numbers here quickly?
Is Pete going to be nicer than I am? Because I had no faith in this guy going to LA to begin with. And I just feel like, I don't know. There's some bad juju there, guys. I swear to God, every team he goes on, ever since that Columbus year where they went on a little bit of a tear in the playoffs, it's just not looked good for this guy. And like Drew Doughty's words kind of spoke for himself there, right?
Yeah, I think so. Just to echo the numbers again for PLD, he's on pace for 17 goals and 17 assists, 8.5 sheets a year. That's like $500,000 a goal we're looking at here for a lowly PLD who's like the fourth line center for the LA Kings right now. But I just think some guys are rejuvenated by a move, especially the Tinseltown. And Pete, we had this conversation maybe 2 months ago where it's like nobody was talking about PLD's slow start because the Kings were on fire. And now they're not on fire, and he's the big topic of conversation in Los Angeles right now. It's pretty crazy how things can change so quickly, because it's good of Bob to bring that up, that, you know, LA was the talk of the town 2 months ago. They, you know, everybody was on fire, and now it's like the complete opposite. And they're wondering if that team's going to make the playoffs. Like, I crunched some stats and talked to some people that the Edmonton Oilers in the last 16 games have made up 22 points on the Los Angeles Kings. Just think about that.
That's insane. Yeah, the Kings do have some decent underlying numbers. They still have the best penalty kill in the league, and they have the third fewest shots on goal per game allowed, last I checked. So that's pretty good. That sign shows a sign that they could probably bounce back at any time and get their footing again. And Nick, when you look at the Western Conference, there are like seven elite teams, and even a team like Colorado that I feel like not enough people are talking about how safe of a bet they could be to win the whole thing. They just add out of the woodwork, Zach Parise, who scored 21 goals last year for the Islanders, playing on like their third or fourth line. So they even get stronger. If they get Nichushkin back at some point, they're as strong as any team out there.
Not to mention the trade deadline as well. And I think you look at Colorado from a fantasy perspective, they've been a gold mine, Anna. We expected that. Even Jonathan Drouin has been producing the last month and a half, so that's great to see. But I think you look at some of the top fantasy performers, McKinnon, Kucherov, and everybody else. And I'll pat myself on the back. It's probably too early for this, but I had Nathan McKinnon winning the Hart Trophy, and I feel pretty good about that. I do think it's a two-horse race. That conversation could change. I could see McDavid getting into that convo. I could see Matthews if he scores 70 goals. But right now, those two guys are the ones I'm highlighting, Anna, McKinnon and Kucherov. McKinnon's been unbelievable. For as great as his career has been, he's winning that Stanley Cup. He's been so good this year.
Yeah, I think you got to throw Austin in the mix right now with the way he's playing as well. But those three lighting it up. Nathan McKinnon never really gets the credit he deserves in the NHL. I feel like he has little brother syndrome being from the same place as Sidney Crosby. Everyone always is like, Sidney Crosby, oh, and there's Nate. But he's been playing lights out this year. His numbers speak for himself. Like, truly 84 points in 49 games. Like, 224 shots on goal. He's got over 30 goals. Everything's looking right for Nate. And he's always been one of the most elite players, especially in the postseason too. Guys, like, come playoff time, this guy's ridiculous, and it's nice to see him doing well. I hope he wins the Hart Trophy. He really deserves it. I don't know if I'm like that high on Colorado long term. I feel like there's a lot of teams that are looking real good out of the Western Conference, but individually, Nathan McKinnon for Hart is a campaign I can get behind, Pete.
McKinnon has reached another gear. It's insane. I mean, a couple years ago, I remember people were laughing at, I think it was me, that I was saying he was in the same conversation. No, I was saying he was in the same conversation as McDavid in terms of his ceiling. And then I think that was one of the years where McDavid had, like, you know, 2 points per game or 150 points or something like that to dismiss that conversation. But especially after the Avalanche won the Cup, you've just seen him take another level in terms of his, like, he's a bigger body than McDavid. He has just as much speed. He leads the NHL in 20 plus mile an hour speed burst by like a country mile over anybody else in the league. So give him the love that he deserves for sure.
And the big story for me too is, like, he's healthy. He's played every game to this point, which is, you know, this is a big thing I talk about every year, why I stay away from McKinnon in drafts, because he misses like 10 games a year. But I think that narrative has changed quite a bit this year. And, you know, he's currently on pace for 52 goals, 141 points. Kucherov on pace for 53 and 141. And I think the narrative that's going to help here is the fact that McKinnon's never won the Hart Trophy, right?
That's crazy that he hasn't, but he's due there, and they've dealt with some adversity for sure in Colorado, and some things have not been pretty on that team despite them continuing to win games. So it's been mostly McKinnon and Rantanen shouldering the load every single night for that team.
Was I right that before this season he'd never like led the league in points individually either? I feel like this season was the first time he hit that milestone as well. So all adding to the campaign, Nick.
Feeling good. I just want to throw a couple more nukes and we'll wrap, because I didn't mention their names and I have to. Jonathan Huberdeau, second year of like je ne sais quoi. Logan Cooley is a guy we thought was going to be a stud up there in terms of the conversation for the Calder. Has not lived up to expectation. Understandable. Ilya Sorokin, so-so start. And our friend Jonas Korpisalo, the Ottawa Senators. Everything goes back to Ottawa and Buffalo. But nevertheless, there's some time to make amends here, Pete. There's some time to make amends.
Definitely. It's crazy to look at with the Islanders. I know they're a fringe playoff team. They have not looked great under Patrick Waugh so far through like five games. But if you were going to tell me that they were going to have three top 50 fantasy players and one of them would not be named Sorokin or Brock Nelson, I would have been shocked at that. But it's been Noah Dobson as a top five defenseman in fantasy. And then Matthew Barzal and Bo Horvat have been really one of the best statistical duos in the league this year, whether the Islanders have been winning or losing. So I wanted to give them a shout out.
Yeah, I'm not too high on the New York Islanders still, unfortunately. So I'll shift the conversation back over to the Ottawa Senators. And I just want to see this team do well in the standings 1 year, guys, because their offense is always just outside of the top 10 or within the top 10 for shots on goal per game, goals per game. Like, they're scoring, they're doing everything that they can. And then the puck goes into their own zone and everything goes amiss and they're a completely different team. So one day the good people of Canada's nation's capital need to experience some joy.
B, before we put a bow on it, you know, we have a short slate of games before All-Star in Toronto. And since Anna's talking about the Senators, I'm going to tell you right now, the Senators are the pick for Monday night at home against Nashville. Look at this line movement here. Opened up as dogs, now short favorites. Listen, I have the eye for it. I love the Senators. It's so hard to back this team sometimes, and I've been burnt a few times, but like the Senators at home tonight, folks.
Bob, I like your pick, but if you're coming on this podcast and dropping a hard T in Toronto, you got to fix that, buddy. You got to fix that.
Yeah.
A hard T? What do we, Toronto? Is that how you guys
Toronto.
Pronounce it?
Toronto. No second T.
Toronto.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
There you go.
You're Canadian now.
Pet peeve,
you're from Toronto.
Havana's.
Well, speaking of which, we're looking forward to All-Star Weekend coming, starting on Thursday, of course, with the whole fantasy draft special and then the All-Star game, the skills. And I guess we'll be back with everybody next week here, Pete. We're going to call that the Week 17 Waiver Wire Edition, okay?
Yeah, let's do it. We're excited about that. Excited about the skills and the game itself and stuff like that. The fantasy player draft on Thursday. If you haven't seen it, check out NHL.com. We did a mock draft for that. It was a lot of fun. Anna did a really nice job hosting it, so I wanted to give her a shout out there. Who do you think is going to steal the show here? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's William Nylander, but wanted to hear if you guys think someone, as we step away from All-Star next week, who's going to be the guy that really catapults his value or his attention on him as a player.
Who is going to be this year's Matthew Tkachuk, I think is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
From last year's Florida All-Star. I think Quinn Hughes is going to win the skills. He's going to take $1 million and he's going to win it. I think he's had a great year. I think he has the motivation. Quinn Hughes to win the skills, folks.
Nice.
Okay. I'll just go with the local product, Austin Matthews. It's his weekend. I know it's a cliche answer, but Connor McDavid, I think half these guys are from Toronto or the area, so they're all going to want to step up and be in the limelight here. Who do you got, Anna?
Yeah, I
got
to go with one of the Leafs. I like both Austin and William Nylander, to be honest. I think William Nylander was the big name in the NHL at the beginning of the year, but we're talking about Matthew Tkachuk in Florida. Obviously, it's going to be Austin Matthews in Toronto, guys. Like, he's the big name right now.
Yeah, you didn't hear Willie Nylander is on vacation after signing that contract somewhere. His face is on a milk carton in Toronto. Hopefully he shows up for All-Star Weekend. Sorry to throw shade like that. Just I cover the Maple Leafs Least Morning Take. Check out that show. But we'll reconvene next week, Week 17, Waiver Wire Edition. Thanks to producer Bob Bender, for Pete Jensen. And Anna Dua, I'm Nick Elberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.